And comes from Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. It's on page 1066. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." May God continue to bless to us this reading from his holy word.
Here to run it. Ah, there he comes.
Kid, I'd take a trip every summer down to Mississippi, visit my granny and her antebellum world. I'd run barefooted all day long, climbing trees, free as a song. One day, I happened to catch myself a squirrel. Well, I stuffed him down in an old shoebox and punched a couple holes in the top. When Sunday came, I snuck him in the church. Sitting way back in the very last pew, showing him to my good buddy Hugh. When that squirrel got loose, went totally berserk. But what happened next is hard to tell. Some thought it was heaven, some thought it was hell. But the fact that something was among us was plain to see. As the choir sang, "I surrender all," the squirrel ran up hard, Newland's coveralls. Hard leaped to his feet, said, "Something's got a hold on me." Yeah! The day the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church, in a sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping the pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the out dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. Harv thought he had a weed eater loose and screwed the moves. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and that squirrel ran out of his britches leg, unobserved, to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen pew, where sat Sister Bertha, better than you, who'd been watching all the commotion with sadistic glee. Should have seen that look in her eyes when that squirrel jumped her garters and crossed her thighs. She jumped to her feet and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." As that squirrel made laps inside her dress, she began to cry, and then to confess her sins and make a sailor blush with shame. She told of gossip and church dissension, but the thing that got the most attention's when she talked about her love life. And then she started naming names the day the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out. Jumping the pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, 7 deacons and the pastor got saved, and $25,000 was raised, and 50 volunteered for missions in the Congo on the spot. And even without an invitation, there were at least 500 rededications, and we all got rebaptized whether we needed it or not. Now you've heard the Bible story, I guess, how he parted the waters for Moses to pass. Oh, the miracles God has wrought in this old world. But the one I'll remember till my dying day is how he put that church back on the narrow way with a half-crazed Mississippi squirrel. Now the day the squirrel went berserk in the First Upright Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out. Hallelujah. And the day the squirrel went berserk in the First Upright Church in that stupid little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah.
Who let him in? Who let him in? You can imagine hearing members of that congregation ranting and raving, how dare somebody let that squirrel in? How dare somebody defile the sanctity of a house of worship, the house of God? Do we show that much disgust when we let other things in our church? When we let our own laziness, our own disinterest, our worldly distractions, our own stubbornness, do we rant? Do we jump up and down? Do we work and search and analyze to determine how they got in here? What would it take to get this church that excited or that concerned about something? What would it take to get the rear ends up out of the pews and working for the glory of God? What would it take to bring revival into this building? Maybe all we need to do is let God in. Take our scripture lesson this morning. God was trying to get the attention of the rich man. He threw a brick at him every day. The brick was Lazarus. Every day, Lazarus lay at the gate of the rich man, hoping that the rich man would have compassion on him. Every day, the rich man stepped over him, around him, ignored him. He would look out his window and see Lazarus walk out the gate. God was simply trying to get him to stop and take the time to pay attention. It was an opportunity for him to use all the things that God had given him. But he never slowed down enough to notice. All the things that God had given him were now obstructing his view. When we came here this morning, was there a Lazarus lying outside the front doors? Would we notice? Would we care? Would we act? I suggest this morning we should be more concerned about whether or not we let God in. What if we were to let God in the building like the squirrel? What if God and the Spirit were actually unleashed in this very building? You probably remember the scene from A Few Good Men. You know the scene, Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson. They're arguing. Jack says, "You want the truth?" Tom responds, "I deserve the truth." And Jack comes back with, "You can't handle the truth." People, can we handle the truth? Do we want revival? Do we call for it? Do we expect it? Do we hope for it? Are we ready for it? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe not, because we want stirrings without change. Stirrings without change. We basically like having religion work nicely for an hour on Sunday mornings. It's perfectly wonderful to talk about it in this building, to take care of each other right here in this building, right here in this group, right here in what we consider our family of God, and that's wonderful. It's wonderful. If you want your church to be a reservoir, a standing, still body of living water, standing still, ready to fill the need if the need comes to us, if we're tapped to help because we're approached, because we're asked, because we're called upon to meet the need, to quench the thirst. What if we were to think of ourselves, though, as a river of living water, flowing freely to where the need is, seeking out where the thirst is, going out to find the need? Do we want the benefits of the blessings, but not to be blessings to others? Do we want to continue to function in the glory of God and yet have no charitable spirit, no giving of ourselves? Scripture tells us, oh, that we might get our hands dirty for Christ. We appear, we follow the program, we praise, we worship, but do we feel the presence of God? Do we hear the Word of God? Do we hear the call? So I ask you this question. Are we spectators instead of partakers? Do we want to let God in to revive us? Maybe. Maybe not. Because we sometimes want sound doctrine without compliance. Gary tells it like it is. Sometimes he's brutally honest, talks about our shortcomings, and I'm sure sometimes we're sitting in the pew and we're thinking in our heads, because we can't say it out loud, amen, brother. Preach it. Tell it like it is. Speak the truth. But then we leave the building and go live like it isn't. We expect to hear, we want to hear the straight story about salvation, about grace, about eternity in heaven with the Father, and yet, do we retell it in our witness? We accept that we are separated from the world based on our membership in the family of God on Sunday mornings. But do we live like it the rest of the week, from Sunday afternoon to the next Saturday night? I remember overhearing a conversation one morning at McDonald's. Yes, I spend entirely too much time at McDonald's. A person in this very community had recently passed away, and the McDonald's men were discussing this gentleman's family, schooling, employment. And then the conversation turned to the obituary's reference to the man's church affiliation. Those at the table spent more time talking about their shock at knowing he was a regular church attender than all the rest that was included. I didn't know this man personally, but it sounded as if these men did, and I couldn't help but wonder if the affiliation didn't match the reality. If the affiliation didn't match the reality. Do we want the Spirit to shake us up? Maybe. But then again, Because we want sermons to shout at us, but maybe not to challenge us. I spoke with Gary about this point, and he mentioned that his sermons in which he is the most blunt, the most pointed, the most critical, are the ones about which he receives the most positive feedback. We want to hear these sermons. We know we need to hear these sermons. You know, the ones that tell us to give until it hurts, where we're told to grow in our faith, where we're moved to go out and witness and do and be. But do we let the Word challenge us? Do we let Scripture burn into our hearts and to our souls? Do we hold ourselves accountable to be, to do, to search, to find the will of God? Or are we just good listeners? Just good listeners. Do we really want our faith to rock the boat? I don't know. Maybe we just want satisfying experiences without having to commit. We enjoy coming to this place of worship, this structure, the beauty, the fellowship, the message. It's a great place to be a part of the family of God. Sunday mornings are special. It keeps us coming back for more. And yet, should there be more drawing us in? Should there be more than the walls and the music and the fellowship time? When was the last time we felt committed to this place, to this body, to this mission? Scripture tells us we should have committed hands to work in the vineyard, committed hearts to worship in victory, and a committed home to live the way of Christ. I'm convinced that we are too easily distracted. Distracted in the rush of this modern world we live in, and we are the ones that let it in. We're the ones who open the doors and let it in. Sometimes we welcome it by the choices that we make. And sadly it seems that we hear only what we want to hear. And we often tune out Jesus. What if we were to let Him in? What if we were to listen to His voice? What if we were to let His will seep into our hearts, our souls, our hands, our feet? What if God, like the squirrel, were unleashed in this building? Two men were walking along a crowded city sidewalk. Suddenly, one of the men remarked, "Listen to the lovely sound of that cricket." But the other man could not hear the sound. He asked his friend, "How could you hear the sound of the cricket amid the roar of the traffic, the sound of the people?" The first man, who was a zoologist, had trained himself to hear the sounds of nature. He could not explain to his friend in words how he could hear the sound of the cricket, but instead he reached into his pocket, pulled out a half-dollar coin, dropped it onto the sidewalk, and watched intently as many people began to look for the coin as they heard it clanking around, also amid the sounds of the traffic. The sounds of the people. He turned to his friend and said, "We hear what we listen for." Maybe that's our problem. With the voice of Jesus, we hear what we want to hear. We hear everything else but Him because we're not willing to listen. And maybe we don't even want to hear. Because we may need to be challenged. We may need to be committed. Our scripture today is a promise. Our scripture today is a truth. May my sheep hear my voice. It doesn't say we could. It doesn't say we should. Might. Scripture clearly tells us, my sheep will hear my voice. For heaven's sakes, let him in. And don't make him use a brick. Amen.